Today on the Gooligans, I don't know why we're talking about this, but apparently Arsenal played against Manchester City. And guess what? It went exactly the way you thought it was going to go. Not the way that I hoped it would go. So congratulations to Manchester City for winning Carabao Cup. But we talk about, what does this actually mean for Arteta and this season?
Yes, yeah, so, and we also got to break down Chapel Roan and Jorginho with some beef.
That's what we do on the show.
Two names we never thought would ever be said in the same sentence. Also, Santi Jimenez of AC Milan and the Mexican national team is joining us in the second segment. We have a great time talking to him. What a good dude. Absolutely crushed it. And we try to figure out what the ref was thinking by not giving a red card to Dane St. Clair for handling the ball outside the box in that Inter Miami game against New York City FC at Yankee Stadium. So all this and more today on the Gooligans.
So how was the Brazil event?
It was lovely. The Jordan Brazil collab. I'm wearing the Brazil jersey, and they had dancers that had like samba carnival dances with the big feathers.
I know, throwing cheeks
all over the place. Everybody
must have been happy about that.
My wife, she grabbed all the cheeks first.
You know, it's fair.
Give it to the lady.
Let her test it before it goes out for general consumption.
But it was great. I mean, we're in the time leading into obviously a World Cup. It's like every day.
In fact, I can't go to all of them. I didn't even go to that one.
You didn't. I didn't. You had something better going on.
Not necessarily. But it got better. I will say, Buddy's birthday. This is a friend who makes a significant more money than you and I have ever made put together. Sure. He's multiplied that by many. So he has this beautiful apartment. It's all glass. Like the whole one side of the apartment is glass overlooking like Chelsea Piers and stuff. It's beautiful. So they throw in a birthday party for him. He's a great guy. He's like, we have a big, like a small friend group, but like the tentacles reach out. So I was like, oh, it's going to be a great party. A lot of creative people, right? You got to go. He's also now from New York, so he doesn't have like a lot of family here. So whenever it's his birthday, he does so much for other people that we all feel like, yo, we got to do something big.
Yeah.
So the plan this year was to surprise him. He loves like irreverent, like, in fact, it was a Sopranos themed birthday party because he had bought two, I'm going to call them match-worn Sopranos shirts. He bought two shirts that James Gandolfini wore during the, like on the show. Yeah, like I'm talking like he's wearing like a $5,000 like.
Yeah, this is everybody is nerdy in their own way.
Right.
And this is even though Sopranos is like culturally a pretty cool thing.
The reason he got it is because it was worn in the show, not because it was Sopranos. He's not a big Sopranos fan. He's a stuff worn in movies and shows fan.
You know what?
Which is crazy.
Even nerdier.
Here's the thing, though. If you gave me a couple of million, this is the shit I'd be doing, right?
Well, yeah.
Isn't this better than trying to ruin the planet?
There's nothing left to buy. So, this is a healthy hobby, I guess.
So he has the Sphinx that was the background, the way before CGI and stuff. They used to make like really realistic looking miniature models, and they would use camera tricks from Lost. What's the dude where he switches the Indiana Jones?
Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Raiders of the Lost Ark. He has that. We're just walking around. It's on the floor. It's just crazy. It's the actual one from the movie.
Right.
So anyway, this guy has a bunch of Sopranos clothes. So we thought, why don't we make it Sopranos themed so he can wear the shirts? So I dressed up in a tracksuit. I stole the show, right? So I thought, because we also hired him a Michael Jackson impersonator. Wow. And when I say Michael Jackson impersonator,
when I think Sopranos, I think Michael Jackson, obviously.
Also, the funniest part to me was like the DJ was like this Indian dude. He had like four or five Indian friends, all of them dressed like Sopranos. I'm like, I don't remember this episode, but it feels like this was in it. You know what I mean?
Well, if we did a like Sopranos, the new class.
Sopranos, the college years.
Yeah, we got to woke-ify
AJ, AJ's new friend group. AJ and Meadow have a new friend group. But like, there was also like, there was a South Korean chef who was also there, and she brought like a bunch of her friends. So it was like a group of like Korean women all dressed like Carmela Soprano.
Yeah.
I'm like, bro, there's a lot of search history.
They got the bump.
There's a lot of search history in my friends. You know, there's a lot of clearing of search history that is in this room. You know what
gotcha.
I mean? But it was so cool to just see like everyone come out. Michael Jackson impersonator. When you hire a Michael Jackson impersonator or any impersonator, like celebrity impersonator, you have a couple options, right? You could go top tier. you can go, comes out, sings, looks exactly like him. Yeah. Maybe someone who even got plastic surgery to mimic this person.
I don't know. I've never heard of that.
Buddy, okay. You've got to go to the Little White Chapel in Vegas. The guy who looks like Elvis went and got plastic surgery to look like Elvis. And he does it.
Must be worth the money.
He looks like a Russian guy who's been looks maxing the wrong way. But anyway, you could also get like the worst Michael Jackson impersonator because that's hilarious. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just some chubby dude doing the moves. Sure, you know what I mean? Sure. You didn't
even attempt it, right? Yeah.
It's that part right in the middle. That's the sweet spot.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe tries to look like him, but can't sing. And that's exactly what we got. This dude came out. He had a microphone now plugged into anything. He just, woo. Yeah.
I mean, I saw some of the IG stories of him walking in.
Yeah.
And the dancing seemed on point.
The dancing is what he got right.
Got it.
The dancing is what he got right. But everything else. Nah, it's just, I'm like, yo, legitimately, this is just a Puerto Rican dude in makeup. Like, you know what I mean? Dancing to Michael Jackson. And it was expensive. It was not cheap.
Okay.
I was shocked. I'm like, I should start charging for appearances as Michael Jackson because I'm doing as much Michael Jackson as him. It was an absolute blast. My favorite part was he decides not everyone's dancing, right? And me and like a couple other people, Donna, we were like dancing to the music or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, all right, let me switch it up. And he puts on like the Cupid Shuffle, whatever, one of those things. Down, do your dance. You know what I'm talking about?
I know this. Is that what it's called?
I don't know what it's called. It's something shuffle. Cupid Shuffle. Why are you acting like I might not know?
I don't know the song. I'm saying I don't know.
You've been to weddings before. Have you never been to a black wedding, bro? This song comes on. I'm like, what's this got to do with Michael Jackson? I said that out loud.
Okay.
And he goes, not everyone's as good a dancer as you. And I'm like, why you calling me out? I was dancing with you, bro.
You're
I'm trying to hype you
you're
up.
You're giving your opinion, bro.
Hey, damn. Look at Michael yelling at Tito. You know what I mean? So then, he goes out. Everyone's doing the Cupid Shuffle. I'm like, why are we doing this with Michael Jackson?
Mm-hmm.
And then he stops. And then he does Thriller. He goes, he gets changed.
Yeah.
Comes out as Thriller.
The
right?
Closer.
Right? Boom. He does the dance. He stands on the toes. Crushes, right? He doesn't throw the hat. I wish he would have. But mm-hmm. I think the wig would have come off with it. So then I thought, yo, we done, right? We paid for four songs. My man, crescendo, right? He looks over and he had plugged his phone into the DJ deck.
Yeah, yeah.
He looks over and he was like, he moves the DJ off the deck.
He moved the Indian DJ?
Bro.
How dare you?
How dare you? Mad disrespectful, right? You think you're ever going to get a Dunkin' Donut coffee now? You're not. Yo, he moved the Indian DJ off the deck. He starts spinning his own music. And I'm thinking, he's about to DJ Michael Jackson music. No. He goes deep house. My man pulled out deep house trance music. He's mixing. He's doing the whole thing. That lasted for like 35 minutes. And then he just stopped and started taking pictures with everyone. And I didn't get a chance to take a picture. I had to go move the car. I parked in a spot where I'm like, you have to, parking from like midnight to like whatever, 4 a.m. So he leaves. On the way out, I take a picture with him, and he goes, hey, man, that was a lot of fun. I go, yeah, thanks for DJing out of nowhere. He's like, hey, man, I just felt inspired. I'm running. Sure. Okay. He goes, hey, I'm running late. My driver's here, and I want to be like, get out of character. Driver, I think you mean your Lyft. You know what I mean? But he goes, hey, man, love to come back. And I was like, yeah, dude. No. And we left, and I'm like, I don't know. Come back to what?
I don't know. Well, there's no way we can do this again.
We're not doing this
again.
The
trick is like seeing a magic trick twice. Yeah.
At that point, it's like, Steve's going to come over and he's going to pretend to be Michael Jackson again. And then he's going to DJ.
Sure. And then becomes an intervention very quickly.
Yeah. That was a little weird. But I want to give a shout out to, and I don't know if they'll ever hear this, but off-brand is my buddy's like, sort of a food pop-up.
No, you can't mention any names of brands.
Only if
no,
they pay
no,
us.
No,
no. No, but here's the thing.
No.
Forget the brand.
Stop right now, Alexis. No, forget.
Look, an unknown food brand. Here's what they did, right? They wanted to make like fun hand, like food you could grab by hand or whatever. What are they called? Like finger foods. But he made it like, you sopranoed it up a little bit. He made a corn dog that was a little piece of an Italian sausage fried like a corn dog with a spicy jardinera jam on top. It's one of the greatest things I've ever eaten in my life. And I was like, forget this whole birthday party. Everybody shut down, grab notebooks. We're going to figure out how to sell this thing.
Gotcha.
This was incredible. Are you a corn dog guy? I already know the answer to that.
Well, why
did I even ask?
Are you? No one's a corn dog guy unless you're in the Midwest.
There's very many corn dogs. There's two more corn dog people right over there.
Not like, I mean, they're not bad. They just don't, I don't feel good after eating them. So I mean,
that's not the question. Do you feel good during?
Probably not really.
Yeah, it's you
not.
Can't talk about the post-cum clarity of a corn dog.
Interesting. That's not a thing, right?
Oh, it is, buddy. It is. You know what we should do? We should go to a restaurant called Cookout. Have you ever been? It's a chain.
No.
Carter's been. I've never been. A corn dog is considered a side. So is a quesadilla. So you get a burger and be like, do you want fries with them? Like, can I get a corn dog instead? They'll give you a corn dog with the burger.
Okay.
Or a quesadilla. Or get all three.
Just a side of sizzling fajitas.
Yeah.
To go with
I'll have a burger and the Cote de Boeuf as a side.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, I'm Alexis Guerreros. You heard of me?
I'm flexing, looking good in my Brazil Jordan kit collab.
This is one of the better kits that they've released.
Sure. So shout out to for gifting these at the event. It was lovely. I had to wait on a very long line. People were desperately wanted these jerseys.
A long time ago, you used to be uncomfortable with gifting. How are we feeling now? I waited 11 years in.
I waited for like 30 minutes on a line to get this.
So you earned it.
Yeah,
you
I did.
You punched in, punched out.
Yeah.
So, you know how much we charge for that on appearances? Buddy, you paid for that game multiple times.
Today's hot show. Why, Alexis?
Oh my God. Hot show alert.
Because we got the one and only of AC Milan. We're gonna be
what?
We're going to be talking to we're actually going to be talking to his teammate, though, of the Mexican national team as well. The one and only Santi Jimenez will be joining us in just a little bit.
That's right. And three sent us players before U.S. soccer. That's crazy.
I mean, look, we hate to do it, but what are you going to do?
What are we
going to
say? No. That's crazy.
But we have a really fascinating conversation with him, so be on the lookout for
what
that.
What a sweetheart.
What a lovely...
Yeah, what a sweet.
What a lovely man.
Hey, you know what? I went half an hour in line for his jersey. How about that?
So, all right, we'll get to that in a little bit. But first, we have to start today with the EFL Cup Final. Carabao Cup!
Let's not talk about it. Arsenal and Manchester City came into this Carabao Cup Final in two different forms. This was a moment for Arsenal and Mikel Arteta to prove to the world that they deserve to win trophies. And they failed. Again.
This is the top topic.
I can give you a couple of reasons why I think this could be turned into a positive, but so far, losing to Manchester City 2-0, what are your thoughts? Because this feels like such a deflating moment for Arsenal fans.
And it's interesting that you say this, because a couple of weeks ago, I said, before this final was when it was scheduled, I was like, I think if they lose this, this could be a bit of a concern for the rest of the season and the other opportunities for trophies. I don't think, I'm not going to say like Arsenal deserved to win, but for the sake of their optimism and hope, this losing this, I don't think helps. And you were like, no, the league is what's most important, and that's the priority.
I'm going to go back to saying that. Right. Everybody buckle your seatbelts. And I think I can look, out of the four trophies that were available to Arsenal before this match, this is probably the one if you had to lose one of them, you'd probably say this one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I think FA Cup is something that Arsenal have won more than any other team. It's something that, you know, there's a lot of pride associated with winning the FA Cup. That's probably when you want to win over the Carabao Cup. And truth be told, they've never won Champions League, and the Premier League, they haven't won in over two decades. Those are the two more important. Personally, I prioritize the Premier League more than Champions League. I know we've never won Champions League, but there's something about winning the Premier League that sort of shows that all the intent, all the investment that we've put forward as a team and a club kind of paid out. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And I'm not to say that that's not the case if you don't win Champions League. It's pretty even. But there's something about winning the Premier League that I think shows pure intent. And that means Manchester City doesn't win it again. Here's where I'll say it's deflating. It sucks. It's not the end, though, right? What is it? April 19th. April 19th, Manchester City welcome Arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
That game. We will see, because of this Carabao Cup final, all the questions. There's two camps. There's the Mikel Arteta deserves, you know, should go if he doesn't win anything this year. This is not a great manager. He can't get us over the hump. And Mikel Arteta has put us in the place to win. He's the guy to bring us. We're about to see who's right. How do you react? How do you get this team to get some type of confidence? Yeah. How do you get them to inspire them to get just over that hump? This has been the team that everyone's been saying all year that could win the quad. They're the best team in Champions League. They're the best team in the Premier League. It's theirs to lose. It's yada, yada, yada. Well, here we go again. I'm an Arsenal fan. I'm also a massive Mikel Arteta fan, but I'm not delusional. I know if he can't be the one to get you over the hump, well, dude, you've done a tremendous job getting us here. And maybe there's someone else that can do the job of getting you over that last step. I believe it is him.
I don't think there's anyone else, but okay.
I know. I believe.
Pep Guardiola. Good. Probably.
Well, he's going to be free. You don't need wifey anymore, Pep. I believe Mikel Arteta is that guy. The way I see that come true is here. This is a scientific, right? This is like science. You have a theory. You need to go test it. Hey, your theory might be right. Your theory might be wrong. We're about to find out because this was bad. This isn't the worst case scenario.
No.
What comes next?
Not by any means. I mean, I would say like the lineup itself.
They had zero shots on target in the first half.
Yeah.
Manchester City. And look at what happened towards the end.
I thought it was interesting. And I'll give more credit to Pep tactically and what he did. Versus saying like that Mikel did something wrong, right? I do think
there's a lot of respect between the two of them, and you saw that in the Ryan Sherry.
I do think
moment.
You know the lineup itself kind of suggested like, okay, it's not that we're okay if we lose this, but it wasn't
as they being injured was a big
sure, bump. But it wasn't, it didn't say, the lineup didn't scream to me like
this
we're
is
doing
the most
everything
cup in our history.
We can I don't care who's injured, like you're playing or whatever. Yeah. That wasn't that they weren't ready to risk it all to win this particular.
I don't know how bad Eze's injury was, but I get your point. Yeah,
yeah, it's clear, and you see it in lineups for Champions League, you see it in lineups for FA Cup, you see it in lineups for, you know, during the run up of the EFL Cup, you saw the lineups that clearly the priority here is the Premier League. The Premier League is like, that's where we were putting all our effort and we're trying to get the strongest team available. But credit to Pep in this game because especially in that first half, Arsenal really couldn't move the ball around. I mean, they, for whatever reason, I mean, you saw...
This felt a lot like one of those boxing matches where you jab each other a little bit. Like no one was taking really big swings.
But I'm expecting Man City's kind of poor form because they've had poor form the last couple weeks.
Yeah, and they got bodied in the Champions League.
They've been dropping points in the Premier League and all that stuff. So I didn't really expect them to kind of like shine. And the goals that they did get were both. I mean, the second goal was like seemed a little bit more proper. The first one was the mistake from Kepa. Mm-hmm. But when you saw the sort of they didn't do like a high press, but they did like sort of two banks of three,
right,
in Arsenal's half.
Yeah,
to not let them really play out of the back, not really move around. They weren't.
Or at least have bodies near them, regardless of who got the ball.
Right, and they weren't really pressing super hard. They were just blocking the lanes so that they couldn't pass the ball in the middle of the pitch that much. You know, Man City and Pep kind of just made the right decisions to win.
It was Gyökeres and Havertz at the same time.
They started?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I didn't realize. Yeah, okay. But it's something where like they didn't have they just frustrated Arsenal enough where like it was like
you say that, but the best highlight came from a beautiful pass to Kai Havertz breaking the line centrally.
I would say the best highlights are the goals from Manchester City.
Like, I meant in the first half. Was it Arsenal?
Right, but I mean,
Trafford had
a great game. I mean, is it as simple as like if Raya started the game, would they have?
I think if Raya started the game, it at least goes to penalties. I think if we had somebody centrally who was a little bit more creative on the ball, whether it's Eze or Odegaard or some type of combo there, really, frankly, if Eze, I don't know why I'm talking around. I think if Eze is able to start, I think Arsenal wins this game.
Sure. It's a, I found it odd. Just the
off the joke. How
bad, like so many Arsenal players have really bad games. Like right. it's Man City were set to win this one game, and
it's
they
really
did it.
Not
they
a
did
bad
it
game. It's a bad second half. It's a horrendous second half. But this is what I do without the Joe stats now. I read the last word first when I see an Arsenal player, and that tells me what I'm going to be.
Right.
So Opta Joe has a photo of a dejected Arsenal player standing there watching the trophy lift. It says, four, Arsenal have lost each of their last four League Cup finals. Now the outright longest run of finals without taking home the trophy by any side in the competition's history. Crushed.
Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah.
Good looking
thanks,
out.
Thanks, Opta Joe. You know, Opta makes you think it's going to be Optimist, but it's not. It's not. It's actually anything but.
Pesa Joe.
Yeah, Pesa Joe. Yo, Joselito got a problem, dog. So, yeah, crushed. At the end of the day, this is what I hope happens. We kind of need to see Mikel Arteta kind of go through a bit of a evil origin story. You know, the evil Arteta, the bizarro Arteta has to kind of come out. And we need to see him sort of that the fun I'm celebrating with my coaches and I'm the player's, you know, best friend. That at some point that has to go away. You have to sort of be somewhat, I don't want to say, you don't have to, evil is not the right term. I'm using like cartoon or comic book lore. But like you, there has to be a chip on your shoulder. There has to be something that you have to sort of, spite is a big driver, you know, clapping back, getting back, you know, proving the world wrong. I need to say that this has to be that moment. This has to, right?
I would hope so. I mean,
if Arsenal walk out of this only winning the FA Cup, is that a good enough season for Arsenal?
I mean, you're asking me. Yeah.
My answer is going to be different, though.
No, it's a bad season. And I think objectively, given the constant second place finishes, I mean,
they have to win the league.
Yeah,
hands down.
Always the bridesmaid, never the bride.
I'll even say this: you win the league and nothing else. Fine, not great, right? Because you could have had more, and that's something to talk about in the transfer market and whatnot. But you walk away saying, tremendous season, will be remembered forever, right? You don't look back at the Invincibles and go, oh, they got knocked out of all those other competitions. You don't care, right?
Sure.
What happened in the league happened in the league, and the league has to be won. The way you win this league moving forward is April 19th. That is it.
Maybe.
You win that game, that's a six-point game against the second place.
Weirdly, I think the league is going to be won earlier than that because I think Man City are, you know, they had this one good game.
They're not even in Champions League anymore.
Right.
They got nothing else to focus on.
Sure, but still, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to get these really good Premier League results. They still are a lot of trouble. When's the last time Erling Haaland scored? Can't even remember. I mean, it's just.
I don't know why. You know, you're the person in the scary movie that goes, "Oh, I think he's not chasing us anymore." You know what I mean? That's what you're doing right now.
right out of it. Well, these last few, Bernardo Silva got that red card, so he's missing the next game. The next
Premier
League game.
Here's what frustrates me the most. Can I just get like nerdy for 1 second?
Sure.
Right? Can I become Christian for 1 second? Can I borrow your glasses? here's my nerddom for 1 second. Mikel Arteta, people say he's a Pepite. He's not. He went to go work with Pep for a few years. He's taken from, you see it this year, he's taken from Moyes, he's taken from Wenger, he's taken from, I forget who his manager was at Rangers, he's taken a little bit from everybody. Pep, he understands Pep. He worked directly for Pep. Yeah. You know what Pep's going to do. Pep's whole system is wanting to get somebody who's big and strong or somebody who's fast against someone who's the exact opposite, trying to defend him. Both goals were scored by O'Reilly. Who were defending him for both goals? One of them was Zubimendi, and the other one was Saka behind him, looking like he was petting him on the back. This is exactly what he wants. For you to not be able to at least plan for that, you know what I mean? For you to not be able to like figure out how to make those adjustments tells me there's still one more step you have to go in your career. And that's this. It's not just to beat Pep. You have to be able to beat Pep at his own game. You have to be able to prep for Pep in a way where Pep is confused, which De Zerbi used to be able to
do. What a fun sentence. We got to prep for Pep.
Prep for Pep, bro. You have to make Pep walk away going, wow. De Zerbi used to be able to do it. The dude that's at Brighton now has done it in the past, where Pep's walked away going, wow, that was impressive. Mikel Arteta has not done that.
He doesn't have any, like, he doesn't have anything Pep hasn't seen before.
Yeah, dog.
Well, look, and this is, you know, the Zubimendi, you know, marking O'Reilly, like, what, you know, there's not much to expect there because Kepa should.
Yeah, but Zubimendi was holding him back so Kepa could come get the ball. I think he's doing that knowing that's what David Raya would have done. And this is why I said if David Raya starts, at the very least, I think we're getting the penalty.
Well, the clip of Jurgen Klopp getting emotional after they won Carabao Cup a couple of years ago, and they had Kelleher, who his first name is
Koyman. Something like Koyan.
It's pronounced Kuivin.
Kuivin.
I'm not making a joke. That is how it's.
Hold on, everybody, be quiet. One more time, say it.
Queeving. Mm. That is the Gaelic, right.
Which was the sound that was made when he was consummated.
Which is it's the Irish version of Kevin.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Yeah. What a horrific original version.
Queeving Keller.
I'm so glad we got to Kevin. To be honest with you.
So, but Klopp was getting emotional talking about why he didn't. He chose not to put in Allison and stick with the keeper that he chose for.
You gotta get the guy.
Yeah. So and the Carabao Cup is the tournament to do that. FA Cup, I think. You go, hey, we got an FA Cup final. Yeah. Thanks,
love
kid.
Love you, bro. Love you, bro.
Love what you did.
Hey, you got us here, Baba.
You see how much more money we get for this one?
How about this? How about we get you the best seat in the house? The bench.
It's a good
you
seat.
You go watch with the boys.
Okay. You want a couple brewskis? Yeah.
No, buddy, get out there. You got a big jacket. Hide a couple brews in there.
So it's
you're not playing is what I'm saying.
But I honestly think the second goal, Bukayo Saka, is not even thinking about following this trailing runner. It's not his job. And it's something I think if you want to win a trophy, that you need to have that little bit of like, you need to be switched on just a little bit more.
This team's going to be 11 center backs if we keep letting it go this way.
Bro, that's been Arsenal all season, bro.
Yeah. Am I right? 1-0 to the Arsenal. 1-0.
Jorginho is a Champions League winner. He's won the Euros. Chapel Roan is a Grammy Award winner. What do these two people have in common? Well, Jorginho's daughter was made to cry because of Chapel Roan. We'll break this all down because none of this makes sense. Lollapalooza, the concert.
Yeah.
They're in Brazil. The daughter sees Chapel Roan in the same hotel. She sees the daughter
at breakfast.
She's like, oh my God, that's Chapel Roan. That's it. That's as much as happened. She saw Chapel Roan.
Right.
Possibly, I don't know if she was near her table in some way, but didn't bother Chapel. Didn't do anything. Just saw her. Then went back to their table and told mom and dad, oh my God, that was Chapel Roan. And big fan, the whole thing. She made a sign. She made a sign for the concert about Chapel Roan. She's a huge Chapel Roan fan. And then
was.
This is why it's a tremendous story, because what ended up happening was a security guard came up to the table and told the girl, she's 11 years old, that she was bothering or harassing Chapel Roan and threatened to like kind of call some other security or get them kicked out of the hotel. For an 11-year-old to hear that, obviously she started crying. Yeah. So for an 11-year-old to hear that when you're a fan of this musician is absolutely terrifying. Jorginho went online and posted an Instagram story. He even posted a picture of him unfollowing Chapel Roan. So, I mean, when that happens...
It gets heavy, bro. IG follows is the new streets, and he took it to the streets, bro. Okay.
And it's been a crazy story because now Chapel Roan...
This is an insane photo. It's the most insane photo we've ever had on the show. If you're listening, just scroll forward our video. I don't know who to pick.
The comments have been great because a lot of people are, especially on our feed, are really just supporting Jorginho.
And of course.
They're saying Jorginho could make Hot to Go. He could recreate that song, but she could never score a late penalty against Leeds to get 3 points.
If I'm being honest, I know who I'm picking in this. One of y'all played for Arsenal, one of y'all didn't.
Jorginho singing Hot to Go. I mean, I would just love to hear that.
My wife goes randomly, hey, do you know who Jorginho Frello is? And I was like, no, but I know who Jorginho is. I never knew his man's last name. He's a one-name artist.
He's a one-name guy.
Madonna.
Prince.
Yeah.
Jorginho.
Jorginho. An Italian with a Brazilian nickname. in Brazil. It's very confusing for everyone involved. Here's what I'll say. I know him primarily as a guy who stepped in at Arsenal after having played at Chelsea for a long time. And he fought for Arsenal like it was his own badge. And now he's doing it for his stepdaughter. This is what he does. He's a soldier. He'll fight for who's not his.
He is.
You know what I mean? But at the time, he's wearing the shirt.
He's a mercenary.
Yeah, dog.
No, but I mean, it's a... And so Chapel Roan also responded and she made a video.
Yeah.
Which was... she made like
she
a...
She said, your daughter Bamba Clat Lion. No, she imagine she's all of a sudden... Why is she speaking the Jamaican accent?
That's wild.
Out of nowhere.
She got a reggae album coming out soon.
The name Chappelle starting to make a chapel starting
but
to
she did a
sense.
Video. I don't know how you feel about this. She did a video acknowledging the host. It was super cash. She's in bed.
Yeah.
Couldn't even sit up. You can't even sit up in the video.
I think we've learned a lot about how you do an apology video in the time of crisis. The more professional and polished it is, the more likely I'm going to be like, are you lying? You know what I mean? So she went the other way.
She went completely like super chill.
She hit snooze on the alarm and immediately started recording a video.
And look, to her credit, she said that she never interacted with any little girl, and that which is true, right?
Right.
No one ever came up to her. No one bothered her. She doesn't understand why this is even a situation.
I mean, I can understand her position. All of a sudden, people saying, yo, he's like,
you can't get the
like, I was eating pancakes.
I wasn't doing it.
I had nothing to do with nothing.
when you anger too many Brazilians, your comment section is going to get a little bit crazy. And Italian, because he's both, right?
Yeah. it's a very hot blooded group of people, twice.
It's you're in a vice grip.
A lot of hands. Two groups that people talk with their hands, bro.
So, her approach to it, and we know, and look, credit to Chapel Roan because she's been very upfront and honest about like she has no real interest in like being the celebrity culture and the paparazzi, and she doesn't like all that stuff. And I would imagine this, and this is me speculating. My guess is that there's some sort of directive with her security team. I don't know if it's maybe
sometimes there's also like other security people that will follow a big superstar like this, or like maybe like. You have your own private security, and then like the event also has to hire security, or the hotel hires security. Exactly. And you know, these are Blackwater guys, you know what I mean? they don't know.
So, this is we have a tweet from the mayor of Rio de Janeiro, he's getting involved. He's like, I'm gonna be a part. He goes, cool. I mean that as long as I'm in charge of our city, young lady, Chapel Roan, will never perform at Todo Mundo No Rio. And now I've been taking Portuguese lessons. No Rio means in Rio. Like I before knowing even a little bit of Portuguese, I had no idea.
Right.
I would assume that just meant literally no, like that she's not allowed to do that.
Anyway, for breaking that down.
I'm just proud of myself that I know what that said.
Yeah.
And he goes, continue. I doubt that Shakira would do that. By the way, Jorginho, your little one is already the guest of honor from the organization in May.
Great.
So,
real quick, what's Shakira got to do with this, dog? She's performing the show. Because I thought he was just like, no, I bet you know who would do that? Top of my spank bank. Would never. Me as a mayor.
Shakira, I would treat you better than PK, right?
No strawberry jam in nobody's house, bro.
So just
you know who wouldn't do that? Raquel Welch in that one film. You know what scene I'm talking about? She would never do that to your kid, Jorginho.
So it's something where like the Variety did an article about this as well, and it just the fact that these two worlds are colliding. And I think Chapel Roan has a couple bangers. She has a couple good songs, you know. They pop up randomly on like my Spotify, and I'm like, all right, I'm not skipping this. These kind of have a couple bops,
right?
Okay,
and look I can understand Jorginho out of nowhere all of a sudden post a video with this long text. I suggest, Jorginho, can you put me on ISO real quick? Jorginho, call my wife. And there's a reason why I'm suggesting that is because she has a lot of experience in dealing with someone who is inconsolable and emotional when your idol destroys your soul. I'm just telling you. You have a child that's kicking and screaming, laying in bed crying, and doesn't want to go anymore. Just talk to my wife. She knows how to deal with that, bro.
Okay, if you know, you know.
Yeah. So, put the pieces together, folks.
Alexis was crying like that 11 year old.
Yeah, but I'm sure she wasn't crying. That's a good man's house, bro.
So I'm wondering how this gets sort of resolved, or if there's some sort of mediation or something that could take place. Like, obviously,
the security guard got to get fired. They got to let the child fire the security guard. The child is the one who says you're fired.
I mean,
you yelled at me.
The easy thing to do is chaperone, bring this little girl on stage and do a little song with her or something. I was like,
or if you're chaperone, keep this going because there's a lot of controversy, right? What you do next is you burn Jorginho's jersey. On stage.
Okay, you can go in that direction. You know that's always an option.
Right? Because your fans are your fans. But, you know what I mean?
But obviously, get it customized to have the daughter's name on the jersey, bro.
Clearly. A piñata of the daughter.
Chapel, listen to us.
Yo, I'm just saying, you want promo or
you
what?
You
want
to be the heel? We know what you need to do. Well, best of luck to both. I mean, look, the sadder part of all of this is that a little girl was made to feel bad for no reason at all. Like, I mean, and it is, as a child, there's a certain thing of like when a person of authority, a police officer or somebody says like, you did something wrong. You know, when you were a kid, like, Your parents would be like, hey, policía te va a llevar preso. Like,
oh, yeah. And you're like, oh. Any white man was, es la policía. Thank you, man. I'm like, yo, all these guys are signing up for this.
Why does my mom know so many cops?
Yeah, I know. Damn, mom. They don't even have a badge, bro.
Your parents are threatening.
Going through the roster?
To get kids to behave, you know, any person of authority would say like, oh, that person's going to arrest you or whatever.
And that's like why if you're like over 30 and Latino and your first generation, you ain't scared eyes, bro. Like, if they told you everyone was a cop, we just already believe y'all are cops.
we're head on a swivel. Yeah, everybody's ice.
Yeah,
bro.
You wearing tactical pants?
you wearing Gap cargo pants?
Yeah, nah, dog. Unless you're carrying a briefcase, then we think you a detective.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, when we say legends, when we say superstars, this is what we mean, bro.
Yeah, this is an absolute honor all the way from Milan. I think he's in Milan. I'm not exactly sure, but we'll find out in a second.
Who knows? That's where he plays, bro. But, I mean, yo, we got nothing but superstars on the show. We are excited to have this. I mean, national team player, AC Milan player, the one, the only, now the top of his list is being on our show, the one, the only, Santi Jimenez! Let's
Santi,
go.
Dímelo. How are you, man?
I'm really good. Thank you for that intro. I think it was too much.
Thank you. You know what?
Thank you very much. The honor is mine. Thank you for the invitation, and let's have some fun.
Yeah,
let's
go. That's that modesty that you may have. We don't need that. We don't need the modesty.
Yeah. Talk your talk, Santi.
Confidence.
Stay humble, you know?
No, we don't want that.
Santi, I just want to start. I know you are recovering from injury. I just want to see how you're doing and when can we hopefully expect to see you back playing.
Hopefully this week. I mean, the mister takes the decisions, but I'm ready to play. So let's wait and see if he put me at least 20 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
One of the things that, you know, we paid a lot of attention to Eredivisie in the last few years, mm-hmm. obviously because there's so many CONCACAF players, especially U.S. men's national team players that are playing there. You in particular, you absolutely shined in the Eredivisie. All over Europe, it seems like there's a lot of CONCACAF players. A lot more than in the past. Talk to me a little bit about what that's like to all of a sudden have just a lot more, I guess, credibility and a lot more respect put on CONCACAF's name.
Yes, in the last years, like you say, a lot of CONCACAF players are doing amazing, and that also opens doors to new players that these teams trust on them. In my experience, is like I went to Feyenoord. I was the first Mexican player being in Feyenoord, and thanks God I did an amazing job. And now they buy another Mexican striker. So It is like
you raised the popularity.
You crawled so they can walk.
but not just me. I mean, there have been a lot of good CONCACAF players in the last year, so this opened doors to new players, and that's why I think we are growing a lot.
No, I love
any Mexican food in Feyenoord.
Sorry,
any Mexican food in Feyenoord? Tienen tacos.
No. Food, no.
No, football. No food.
Food, yeah. Food, no. Football, yes.
Okay.
Okay.
We got to work on that.
I do want to ask about just playing in Milan. I mean, this is AC Milan, just such a historic club. And you've been open about the pressure to play for such a huge club. And I have seen that Christian Pulisic also warned you about it, because the saying is that we don't settle for a second place. Playing with a player like Christian, and even just playing for that club, has there been any advice or any funny moments of like people talking to you about how intense the fans are?
Yeah, I mean, like you say, here second place is crazy. There's no chance here in AC Milan. The pressure is really huge, but to be honest, we love pressure. Football players love pressure, and I'm a really good friend of Pulisic, and we have a good connection here. We a part of training, we do a lot of activities, of things outside the pitch, so I can consider him a good friend. And that's the CONCACAF connection that we were talking about, and we hope we can score some goals and assist each other. That's the most important, because we are football players.
Yeah. But not if one of you is wearing a Mexico shirt and the other is wearing the US.
Shuts off for 90 minutes.
Yeah, in national team it's like we are on war, you know.
Yeah.
But we also have a lot of fun talking about countries in the dressing room with our teammates. They have fun of us. Last time we beat them on the Gold Cup, yeah. I have fun of him, and it was funny.
Good. Hopefully that's the last time you can do that, no offense. But actually, let's talk a little bit about Mexico, because Mexico is hosting a World Cup, and the first match is going to be at La Azteca, which is an amazing venue. We've been there before for a U.S.-Mexico game. Talk to me a little bit about just the honor that it is for your country to host a World Cup.
Proof, it's the dream of every player. Imagine that when you're a child, the dream is to play a World Cup, and now you play the World Cup at your home, at your stadium, with your people. So imagine, it's crazy. You cannot even dimension the thing that is coming, you know. So I'm really anxious that this start already.
Yeah, I can imagine.
when you got to Milan, you obviously Zlatan Ibrahimovic presented your jersey.
We all know who he is.
And we're gonna Zlatan. I don't know if you saw the video of, he's gonna be doing the analysis on Fox here in the U.S.
Yeah.
And they had a video of him on a lion flying. It's like a whole thing. They're doing the marketing. Zlatan, but Zlatan
looks like the dreams I've had of Zlatan. So that's fine.
But obviously, there's so many more historic figures. I know Kaká is a very important figure to you as well. But when you can you talk about just and one of the factors was of joining AC Milan was because of Kaká played there as well. But for you, having Zlatan like be your boss and working there, like he's such a immense figure. Can you talk about what's it like playing for a club with players like that attached to it? And if there's any inspiring or interesting moments that you've had with Zlatan that you could share with us?
Yeah, I mean, it was like in the night I showed to my wife the videos of Zlatan's, because I am a really fan of him, and I saw every time videos of him, also the interviews. He inspired me a lot, and I saw videos like in the night of him to my wife, and the next day he was presenting me in AC Milan.
Right.
So it was like I was living a dream, and I didn't get it. Like, wow, I have Zlatan here, yeah. One side of me, and you don't dimension like this kind of things. Like also the other day, I was sitting in the stands of the stadium, and Pato was one side of me. Tom Brady was there, one side of my other side, because he was watching AC Milan and he was sitting next to me. So it's like I'm living like, I don't know, in a movie.
Yeah, it's like a dream.
Yeah, yeah.
So just to hear Pato and Tom Brady in the same room is so crazy.
Yeah.
Legends.
Yeah.
I mean, you've had like such a dope career. We were looking back and we didn't realize you played a game with your father at Cruz Azul. It was a friendly, but I mean, was he the inspiration for the way you play?
Yeah, for sure. He was my reference, and I loved when I was a child to saw him playing, and that's why I get the passion, and I went all in football, because I saw him working hard, I saw him having fun, and then I decided to be a football player and to put all the energy here. And yeah, he's my inspiration for sure.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
It's beautiful. I mean, when you think about obviously coming back and helping the team, I mean, it's a tough stretch now, right? I mean, there's a lot on the line. Obviously, the Scudetto is not not out of reach. Obviously, getting a Champions League spot. But what are your thoughts as far as your own contributions for the team for the rest of the season, and for obviously hopefully getting a call up to go to the World Cup?
Yeah, for sure. The first thing I need to do is to be good of my ankle, because I have been along with this injury, and it's not easy. It's not easy after a surgery to come back strong, but that's the main focus, because if I am good of my ankle, I know what I can do. I know what I can give to the team, to my teammates, to the national team. I know my quality. I know how important it is for me to be good to help the team, you know? So my first focus is just to be good of my ankle, and then I can give the talent or whatever why Milan buy me, you know. So I want to demonstrate, but feeling good is the first focus.
Okay.
What's one player, and I think Milan fans will want to know this, what's one player in training that just completely surprises you? Man, this guy's got all the skill. He does crazy stuff. Is there anyone that stands out?
Luka Modric, for sure.
Okay. Oh, I mean, a legend.
Yeah. Yes, yes. I mean, because you saw him like outside the pitch, and he looks like a normal person, no? Yeah. Like you don't imagine he's a football player.
No, he looks like
if
a coder.
If you saw him,
he's like a programmer.
Then he entered to the pitch and do crazy things that you say, wow. And you learn everything to him. Also, he's a work harder. He's a nice person. His right foot is better with when he. When like he shoots like, with the
outside, like Trivella.
Yeah, exactly. So he do some things in the pitch that I cannot believe it.
That's awesome.
I love it. I mean, and I know you have you recently have a partnership with AT&T. Can you talk a little bit about what you got going on with them?
Yeah, we have a really good deal for this World Cup. I've been a lot of time with AT&T, and the thing why we are together is because our ethics, our value is the same. No, I think we have a good connection, and also Christian is here in the team, and we are doing a dream team to connect and win.
Okay.
Speaking of, you need to connect with your midfielders.
It says a lot because
it makes sense.
On paper, you know, you're like rivals, but you can put that aside.
No, the Milan fans want five bars. Five bars of connection between the two of you.
Can I tell you a quick story, Santi, if you will indulge me? This is, so I got married in a couple years ago, and I went on my honeymoon to Italy, and I went to Milan. And my connection to the sport is because my brother, he used to travel to different countries and used to buy me a shirt from all the different countries and different teams. So I have like a 2003 AC Milan kit that I love. Wow. It's one of my favorites. And I went to Milan for my honeymoon and I wore it. I wore it in Milan. I felt really good about myself. And then, that day we were traveling to Napoli. We were taking the train to Napoli, right? His face. Take a train to Napoli.
Bad idea.
Yeah, yeah. But
did not change his shirt.
I didn't change my shirt, not thinking about it. And then I get to, I get on the train, get off at, I was fall asleep. I'm kind of tired. I wake up in Napoli, get out. And then when I get off the train, I'm thinking like, oh man, is this like a thing that are people going to be like bothered that I'm wearing this shirt? And I get off the train and nobody says anything. And then I get to the taxis and I wait for a taxi and all the taxi drivers are the Napoli ultras. And they're telling me, we're not driving you. We're not taking you anywhere.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
It's crazy.
So, but it is like this. Eh?
Eventually, someone did take me and yelled at me for 20 minutes about why I shouldn't be wearing an AC Milan shirt in Napoli. But and he just said, all right, fine, I'll take you, but I'm charging you more. So that is my AC Milan story that I've never gotten to say that to an AC Milan player, but it's still one of my favorite kits that I own. It's absolutely beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. So maybe there's a little bit of, you know, maybe next time you play Napoli, maybe you're thinking about that.
No, it talks about the passion here in Italy. It's crazy. And the pressure that AC Milan's need as you as a player, because it's a great club. It's like one of the history clubs in ever, no? So I believe in your story because something similar happened to me, but in different way. Like I went to a restaurant and they told me, no, you cannot eat here. So imagine that.
Where was this?
This was, to be honest, in Holland when I play at Feyenoord.
Yeah, yeah.
And I went to Amsterdam to have a lunch with my wife. And of course, it's like the rival.
Yeah.
And they told me, no, you cannot eat here. You go another place.
That's great. With your wife?
Yeah.
At least let your wife
with
me.
My wife.
She's done nothing wrong. Yeah. Right?
But it is like this. Football is like this. Yeah. The passion, it's another dimension.
It's incredible. Yeah.
There's something beautiful about that because that's that passion that people want to see. You know?
Can you?
And also it's like the feeling of, okay, next game I will score 2 goals.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
You remember that.
Then I will come again.
Yeah, you're like, keep the ribs. I'm scoring exactly. 2 goals.
Can you walk around? I mean, I would imagine in Milan, you can't like walk around and really like go anywhere, right?
No, yeah, I walk a lot. A lot with my wife. I buy some scooters, so we go around the city a lot. We love to walk, to go for a coffee. Of course, they recognize you, but not a lot.
Okay. Well, you have a Vespa?
No. Scooters like
the Lime.
Standing
scooters.
Up. You
oh,
know?
The push.
Yeah, like Lime.
Push.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, the kick scooter.
But the electric. It's electric.
Oh, the electric. Yeah. Very cool. Okay. All right. Watch the ankle.
No.
Right. We get a sit down joint. What's like when obviously growing up you got to see your father play professionally. What's one part of the game, especially now being at Milan, that you think surprised you the most now that you're a professional?
I think here in Italy the league is really tactic, no? Like the teams play a lot of defensive. Mm-hmm. It's like the 11 players need to defend and the 11 players need to attack.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So you as attacker, you need to be focused first on where to stand up, where to defend, where to be positioning to receive the ball. So the tactics of the game, I think here in Italy, I never seen anything like this before. So I learned a lot here, the positioning, the defense and all this part.
Yeah, you're the first press, right? You're the first one to press.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the best defense is the attack, and the best attack is the defense. So that's what they show you here in Milan, and it makes sense. And when you understand this, then you see the importance of this.
Okay, that's awesome. I love it. Santi, obviously, I want to just applaud you because I know English is not your first language and
you could have fooled me.
No,
I'm making a lot of effort.
You are crushing.
This is amazing. I love to see it. And I know, you know, the AC Milan locker room there's lots of languages spoken and so much diversity. Yeah. So I'm sure you're learning curse words in Portuguese as well.
What's better, your English or Christian Pulisic's Spanish?
Or Italian.
My English. Oh, yeah. English.
That was fast. That was like,
for sure.
That was real fast. Okay, fair.
Santi, but it's an absolute honor. Thank you so much. I mean, we obviously hope you get back healthy and do great. Do you play well unless it's against the United States or the Dominican Republic?
Yeah. If you lose to the U.S., we will both sign up for AT&T. How about that?
Okay.
But you know, no, actually,
I hope we play against them because yeah, it will be an amazing game.
You play Gold Cup in you played against Dominican Republic, right?
Yes.
Okay. I just went because I haven't gotten the chance to speak to anybody who played against the team. Because before the game, there was a lot of like, what did you expect? Even the coach was saying, Bob, like, oh, it's a son peloteros, right? They didn't think much.
No, but they really surprised me. Eh? They make a really good game against us, yeah. And it put us on difficulties.
Yeah.
Okay. Up the bachata, bro. Up the bachata, boys.
Los merengueros, lo hicieron.
No, they are growing a lot in football.
Yeah, it's a proud moment. I was,
same with Cuba, baby.
Yeah, I was hosting a watch party for that game in the Bronx in New York, and to see Dominicans get together for football is like a dream come true. And the fact that the team, look, those two goals, wow. We didn't win the game, but to score two against you guys is
it
unbelievable.
Was 3-2 was there.
Yeah. No, really it was an incredible game. Santi, un placer, un honor. Muchísimas gracias. Thank you so much for joining us. You're welcome back anytime.
But
this was great. You absolutely crushed it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and I hope we can meet each other.
Sure. Dude, come to the studio. We'll get good tacos.
if you invite me to New York, I go.
Done.
You're welcome.
And you're invited. In the Inter Miami game at Yankee Stadium versus New York City FC, everyone's looking at Messi, including probably the referee, because during that moment, Dane St. Clair grabs the ball, what we believe is outside of the box, which is a red card. It is a handball, advantage to New York City FC, and it is not called. Not only is it not called, they don't even go to the VAR. Christian, what the hell's going on? At least when it's that controversial, you have to show the fans, draw the line, do something.
Give us a little bit of faith that the system is not in complete chaos. And we were on the line. I mean, we're close. We're pretty close. We had a good.
We have a better angle than the camera that was showing you on TV.
100% agreed. Yeah. So watching it live, and also just from a couple weeks ago against Orlando City, Maxime Crepeau, and I was in the same exact line of sight. I was like, when Crepeau did that, I was like, okay, yeah, that's obviously it's a red.
That's a previous game.
Dogs are a previous game.
And you said you thought this one was worse than that.
I thought this one was worse.
Damn.
Bro, I mean, it felt so, it felt pretty clear.
It's so hard looking at this because the angle is so off.
This image.
We're closer to being in line with the top of the box.
Yeah.
Much closer.
Yeah.
So to us, it immediately felt like, well, that's a red card. Yeah. Like, that's my first instinct is, at the very least, go to the board. Just go to the screen.
Yeah. In fact,
we saw the VAR tech run and take the cover off the screen. So I'm thinking, oh, here it comes. And then the ref just waves it off and continues play. It's like...
I don't think that was at the same time. That wasn't when this happened.
I think it was.
No.
It was right after this play.
It was much earlier because it was in the 70... This happened in like the 75th minute.
I think it was this moment.
It wasn't. I'm probably, that was much earlier back because I remember us having that conversation.
All right, but, my memory. Go ahead. You put a time on it.
But my best guess... So the difference between the Orlando City game was that the referee did call a red on the field immediately because it seemed... It was pretty obvious. He handled the ball outside the box, and it was a dog so red. This one, the referee does not call anything, and obviously the crowd is flabbergasted because we know what it looks like because we just saw it a couple weeks ago. So my guess here, and you know, you were immediately saying you were like, oh, you know, for NYCFC to play it out of the box, so the VAR can
get it out.
So VAR can take a look at it. And ref puts his hand to his ear, saying, you know,
all the signs that something big's about to happen, and then he's just
waving it away. So and all very quickly. In 15, 20 seconds after the incident happened, he's basically like waving it away.
Right.
And my issue here is that I can't, unless maybe we need to, the way PGMOL puts out the VAR audio so we know in controversial decisions, like what the conversations were like between the referee and the assistant referees and the VAR and everything. I think we need that here.
Because I'm assuming that VAR told him it's not, don't even look at it. Essentially, obviously not in those words.
Yeah, yeah. And my assumption is that is since it wasn't the VAR had no clear and obvious or an angle that showed a clear and obvious error. So the VAR wasn't sure if the ball was handled outside of the box. Again, the difference between the one with Crepeau.
You know what's frustrating is it's undeniable. It's unequivocal that a portion of that ball was over the line.
Without a doubt.
Undeniable, right? There's no angle you can show me that doesn't look like it, right?
Right.
At that very moment, the ref should be, because it's a red cardable offense, the ref should go see it at the screen.
So that's the thing, is that the ref should give the red card if that is what he thinks is a possibility.
No. What I'm suggesting is adjusting the VAR rule. I get what you're saying. Yeah. My suggestion is if the ref doesn't see someone, you know, two-foot somebody, the VAR should be like, something that is a potential red card happened. You need to go look and referee it from those camera angles.
Okay. So yes, correct. So the VAR, the only way they would get involved is
if
they think
we change that.
Yeah. So if they think that the ref made a clear and obvious error, right, and missed a call.
I'm not saying that. That is the current rule.
That is the current rule. So the VAR, to my understanding or my assumption, is that they just were like, hey, we're not sure if he handled the ball outside the box, so we're not going to tell you to look.
So you're suggesting that the ref's like, well, I didn't think it was, so let's just keep playing then.
No. The ref didn't think it was. And
I just said that.
Yes, I know. Yeah, but let me finish my sentence.
Okay, go ahead. All right.
The ref did not think it was a red, but because the VAR also wasn't sure if it was a red, then there's no reason to look at it.
That's what I should say. Yeah. So we're on the same
page. So that's it.
That's what you're suggesting.
That's what I'm suggesting happened. Yes.
Yeah. I'm suggesting what happened was that they told him it was not.
So meaning like they confirmed that it wasn't, which I don't think that's
and we won't know. Who's
I don't think
right
that's possible.
Who's wrong,
right, unless we hear the audio.
Out, right.
All I can believe is that the VAR was like, we don't have a definitive angle to be sure.
Right.
So we're not going to tell you to look at the screen.
The frustrating part, I think the most frustrating part for most fans of New York City FC or just people that were watching this game is like, yo, you're not even going to look at it. Maybe if you watch the broadcast, you got multiple angles. I don't know what the announcer.
I saw the broadcast. The announcer.
You rewatched the game?
Well, the highlights. Yeah. Okay. But I meant to look. I mean, I try to prepare as much for the show as possible.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, but all right. I'm gonna start inviting you out more. This is crazy.
I watched this back, and I watched this moment in the broadcast back. The announcers were like, "This is most likely a red."
Yeah.
But with still a little bit of uncertainty, right, of like what the final call was going to
Who
be.
Who refereed this game? Calf? This is crazy.
It was crazy. It was a pivotal moment in the game. And you know, look, and I think it's a thing where, you know, I was at the game, the Orlando City game at Yankee Stadium, and the referee was pretty much in the same exact position to make the same call and made the call. And we just was like, hey, it's red. And in my opinion, the ref should be like, it looks like it might have been outside the box. Let me give the red. If VAR tells me otherwise,
I will take it
then
back.
Then we sort of go back on it or whatever. But the ref did not make that decision. And then that it goes to, you know, the comment sections of this of the clip are like,
everyone assumes
protecting
that
Messi and supporting Messi and blah, blah, blah. And they wouldn't do this to Inter Miami
and look,
and blah,
that
blah, blah,
shouldn't
blah
be the reason you start giving out reds to prove you're not
cheating.
No.
I'm not saying
but
that.
But at the end
I
of the day,
yeah, it was
that
a good
perception
game
is real.
It was a good game. Yeah. I thought, you know, there were, some lucky goals, obviously, from Inter Miami. The deflection from Messi's free kick.
Yeah.
Just the ball bouncing to Luan.
I would say the first two goals were mistakes by New York City FC.
I wouldn't call them mistakes.
Okay, I would.
Sure, whatever. I mean, it's just that's part of the game, whatever. Yeah. But and I go to Thiago Martins. I had seen the one of the Mix Zone reporters. I apologize, I can't remember who it was right now, but they were talking to him and they were like, do you think it's a red? And do you think it was a handball? He said that it's a terrible look for the league, that it's a big game. There's a lot of people watching. And they asked him specifically, like, do you think it's a handball? He goes, brother, And then he just walks away. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. quite clear.
You could draw whatever you want from that.
It's quite clear what he thought.
Can't find me for that, he said.
So it was that. I think that wrinkle in the game took away from the attention of, like, it was an entertaining game. I mean, and you could sense the you know, I hosted the town hall with Pascal Janssen mm-hmm. and Todd Donovan, the sporting director and coach. And I asked him about this upcoming game against Inter Miami. This was about 2 weeks ago when I was hosting that. And I said, like, hey, I have that game circled. Like, I want to get revenge against Inter Miami after that playoff game. Yeah. And he specifically said he was like, you know, oh, I have a picture in my office from that game. And I was like, oh, joking, like it was like a messy dartboard or whatever. And then he was just, the crowd laughed, he didn't. Which is how he is, right? But he said that he does have a picture. The picture is of him watching Inter Miami lift the Eastern Conference Final trophy.
Yeah.
And that's like what like motivates him and inspires him. And I think overall, outside of like the slight miscues, I thought they played a good game. Yeah.
It really seems to me that at this point, New York City FC is like, I would say, like a real striker away from being like one of the best. They're already one of the best teams, but even like the top tier.
But between the two, there's a real rivalry brewing.
You can see some of the stats
between, because remember the fight.
Look how tight this is. 1.25 XG versus 1.51 for Inter Miami. And a lot of those came in the second half for Inter Miami. Because the first half was, well, that's not true. They also hit the post a couple times. I also thought Matt Freese was a little sketchy. Not sketchy, but he was a little less confident than I've seen him. A little less stoic than I've ever seen him.
Maybe. I mean, this was, the first game of the year that he really had to face a lot of shots. I mean, yeah. NYCFC were pretty dominant in the
But there
first.
Was a slight hesitation in a lot of his movement. I've watched every game this year. And obviously in the past, we've seen him with the national team. I think if you're someone from the national team and you're watching this game, I'm not saying you're taking the number one spot away from him, but there's a couple questions that would arise from how.
He stopped some crazy shots from Messi. I don't have any real concern, but okay. I mean, I think that's fair. All right, let's move on to Antoine Griezmann because we got some news, because there's been like an up and down of like, he's coming here, he's not.
You know, will they, won't they?
Will they, won't they? And We got a wee.
Yeah.
He said we.
Yeah.
By Antoine Griezmann, according to Tom Bogert, was a tweet. He said he's flying to Orlando to finalize the deal, and he will be an Orlando City player this summer.
We talked about like ad nauseum about like how big of a deal is this for Orlando. It's huge, especially now that it's like materializing. Having a player like Griezmann in this league is going to be big. The fact that he's going to be wearing an Orlando shirt is going to be big. It makes me wonder, like, how serious is he going to take, you know, being an MLS player, right? Are you going to be a Thomas Muller? Or are you going to be a Rodrigo De Paul? You know what I mean? Which one are you going to be? Are you going to go visit your girl on her birthday a couple days after a big loss?
Right.
In another country all the way? Or are you going to be like someone trying to show by example how to be a better professional? And that's the only question I really have. I think this is a win for the league. I think this is a massive win for Orlando. And hopefully this shows the intent by Orlando to, you know, to put themselves in a position to be a title winning club, as opposed to just sort of one of these clubs that's like always in the playoffs but never really does anything.
They need to turn things around very, very quickly. Yeah. Are getting absolutely smacked around.
Do you think Griezmann is going to give advice as to who, or at least be asked as to who he wants as a manager? Do you think maybe he was asked?
Oh, that's interesting. I don't know. I would imagine his input is probably welcome. He's a very good player and very decorated. So, I wonder what it sort of looks like going forward. I mean, they Orlando just played Nashville and got losing 5-0. It doesn't necessarily tell me like it's the coach's fault. Like something's up. They just like there's a little bit of I had seen the commentary about like Red Bull just lost 6-1 or something like that. I forgot to who. But there's they sort of made the example of like that, like it's the motivation and the heart of like just a player. Like there's a lot. Right. I'm not saying there's like a lack of belief in Michael Bradley.
There's a level of embarrassment.
The first two, three games of the season were pretty good. And it's like, what the hell has kind of turned around? It's odd for it to work early on in the season and then completely just fall apart soon after that. But
getting pumped is never a good
Yeah, but Orlando, their roster, I mean, I know they lost a couple players here and there, but their roster is good enough to not be getting smacked 5-0. Like, yeah. that's two times.
Yeah.
Already in five games of a season.
It's a lot. It's a lot to be to have a negative 10 goal differential for two games put together, sure, regardless of how you slice it. I think at the end of the day, though, Orlando is maybe this is a it fell into my lap kind of a move, but I think for the most part, maybe this shows the intent to be better. Because, dude, we've been there. It's a great stadium. The fans clearly love the team. And they just never felt like a world beater. I've never looked at Orlando as like, oh, God, Orlando's coming. You know what I mean? I've never had that feeling.
No.
Maybe this is a chance. Even when Kaká was there.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, maybe Griezmann is a different type of, like, designated player.
Yeah, he ain't going to be at the church. He's going to be at the club, dog.
We'll see. I mean, to me, especially the comparisons to, like, Müller, it's like that's a good, like, he can fill that role. Like, he's not going to be asked to, like, track back everywhere and do all this stuff. Facilitate and, like, lead the team.
And I've said this before, I'll say this again, I think that is the perfect player to bring into this league. A player that's just hard to find anywhere. Someone who can be an attacking midfielder that can provide those passes to your forwards. Yeah. We have athletes, bro. We got athletes all over this league. Can someone make the smart football pass like a Ricky Pouche? Someone like that that can make that one final pass that would break through a line that gets you in front of the goal. And that's exactly the type of player you bring in. For Orlando, this is what a wonderful move.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. So
should have come to New York City FC.
Looking forward to this summer. All right, let's just wrap up with Philadelphia Union. Mm. The Philadelphia Union, another team in...
Yeah, let's end positively.
The absolute mud. They lost again. They've lost five in a row. They are seemingly going from Supporter Shield winners to Wooden Spoon winners, which I don't even...
Thought that. Yeah, other than that one year when, like, Jim Curtin was, like, almost fired at the end and kind of turned it around. That was the last time we've ever seen them even be, like, poultry. And this is...
It might be time to bring Jim Curtin back. I don't know.
Bro, dead ass.
His
boy won't be there.
So this is something. Ernst Tanner. Tom Boger. We're looking at a tweet from Tom Boger. But this we got to give credit to the reporting from
Pablo Maurer.
Pablo Maurer of The Guardian. The homie, Pablo Maurer. Ernst Tanner is the CSO of the team.
So this tweet from Tom Boger real quick just says, Major League Soccer has suspended Philadelphia Union CSO Ernst Tanner without pay through June 1st, 2026. The league announces Tanner can be reinstated on June 2nd, provided he successfully completes a league-approved restorative practices program. It's never good.
Not great.
Yeah. This is from Jose Roberto Nunez. He says, Ernst Tanner's representatives have issued a statement to the Philadelphia Inquirer about their piece earlier today. Quote, I continue to firmly deny these accusations. My priority is the team, the employees, and the Philadelphia Union community, particularly at this important time.
Opportunity.
Yeah, it's supposed to be opportunity to continue to excel in the playoffs. I will cooperate fully with the league's investigation as I work to clear my good name and reputation.
Okay, so let's just go to just real quick what he has been accused of and what he is suspended for.
Good name. Everybody remember that part while you hear this.
So a couple things. He goes on. This is why he got in trouble in the first place, because he was caught saying and in different scenarios, whether it was at training, whether it was at actual matches. But he said, this is somebody talking about the allegations. He said, quote, he consistently would speak about African players like they were subhuman, said one source of Tanner's workplace behavior, a description matching that of three other current and former Union employees. It said that was pretty consistent. It says, quote, that was pretty consistent. He would always sort of throw out, well, he's African. He's not able to do that. Or, quote, we all know that Africans can't perform like that. We can't trust them. So seemingly he was very flippant about how he spoke about Africa. And I guess it feels like it's very targeted to African players. Maybe I don't know if it's black players as a whole, but this is still wildly racist.
It's crazy, yeah.
To say and there's a bunch. This is arguably one of the ones that really made me feel like this dude is pretty gross. So it goes on in the article. It says the MLSPA complaint also references an alleged incident in which Tanner reacted to the dropping of a plate of food at a coach's training by saying, quote, it's a good thing that we invited the African coaches. They're used to eating food off the floor. End quote.
I mean, that's just, I don't, what do you mean they can reapply for Julian Seguin to come back? This is someone you don't want in your league. I don't care what classes you go to. I don't care if you get a lobotomy. Go do something else. Now.
Yeah. I don't know how you exactly kind of like repair this. I mean, it's.
And I get that, look, legally, they have to do an investigation, right? So they can't treat this as if it's fully true yet.
Sure.
So you say, well, they have to. They can come back to the league, blah, 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 once we finish our investigation and all that. If any of this is true, even one of those things is true, thank you for your time. Goodbye.
But I don't even comprehend, like, what is the obviously he's in a position of authority, but even if you're not, like, there's a very clear policy, say amongst the players, right? We know we saw the Vinicius Jr. and the thing with well, I'm forgetting his name, but the player from Benfica.
Yeah,
and we talk so much about, hey, they end racism and racial abuse from anybody, but especially between the players. Like, we cannot allow this. That, but for to have someone in a position of authority and who builds rosters talk about players like this,
also just openly, like, open, slipping, like, was a good term, as if like,
hey, yeah, there's always, it's not even locker room talk.
Yeah, this
it's
isn't just, bad. I'm just saying these people eat off the floor, yeah, right? It, I mean, like, no, that's horrible.
It's so abhorrent, and I can't comprehend, especially, you know, and credit to the Philadelphia Union supporters. I know they've been protesting and saying, you know, and you know, using their voice about this. I don't know how, this reminds me of the issue with Sporting Kansas City. Remember when the sporting director that came from the Portland Thorns that was dealing.
What was his name?
I forgot his name now, but you know, he was accused of kind of not handling
it serious enough. Yeah,
not taking the allegation seriously of like improper relations with the coach and comments and all that stuff just like impropriety and sexual abuse kind of allegations. He did not take that very seriously. He was hired by Sporting Kansas City, and then all this stuff came out and it was all very public, and they were like, why, you can't hire this guy? And yeah, and he was let go pretty soon after. I don't understand how Ernst Tanner is going to just come back into the role after everybody knows what he did. He is suspended for it. I mean, I don't know what rehabilitation. I mean, if I knew somebody who spoke like this, I'd be like, all right, I ain't hanging out with him.
Yeah.
So I don't know about, and the idea of working with him seems even, you know, less reasonable.
But also, I mean, you know, Philadelphia Union, if you want to take this out to a broader approach, Philadelphia Union are primarily known for, I believe it's called YSA or YSE, their youth academy.
Uh-huh.
They produce some incredible talents, right? We've seen the lure around Kevin Sullivan and Quinn Sullivan, his older brother, just to name two players. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to trust the team to take care of your child and to raise them to be good human beings when you're putting your kid in academy. Yeah. Are you going to trust a club that has a guy that says this stuff? Philadelphia, especially in Chester, that's a very black neighborhood.
Yeah.
We're talking about a city that has a proud black history of athletes, producing athletes, entertainers, producing a lot of talented people that happen to be black, very large black population. If your child, you're a black parent, you have a child that's good, showing signs of being a good soccer player, you going to trust the Philadelphia Union when you know that at the top, this is what they're saying? I wouldn't. Yeah. I certainly wouldn't.
Yeah, it's super disappointing, the reaction from MLS, because this seems like a, you know, easily like a fireable offense or something. Or this should be a bigger punishment than just like, you know, a 6-month suspension and then a little pow and take, you know, take a couple classes and then, like, are we supposed to forget that this happened? Yes. And you would also imagine,
this feels like it's just beyond the realm of sensitivity training. They didn't say something that, like, oh, I didn't know that was a bad word. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is very clearly a track record. If this is true, obviously, right? We have to wait for the report and all that, the investigation. But if this is true, then this is like, I don't think you can just sensitivity clash your way out of this.
Yeah, I mean, I would lean on Union fans and let us know what you think about it. Because this is, it's uncomfortable. And then the discomfort more than anything is going to be like, when he comes back, how is he going to address this in the media? He's going to get a lot of questions. How is he? Is he going to show any kind of? Is he going to apologize?
Right. Is he going to get a sports show on Fox News? What's going to happen?
We see the pivot coming. Yeah. Okay,
he's actually going to be on Theo Von's podcast talking about this, which is interesting.
Okay, we got to humanize him. Obviously. All right, let's wrap up there. Just a big shout out to Santi Jimenez. A good soul, a good person.
But also just like fun to talk to. Someone who was really nervous about doing it in English and then shined. You know what I mean?
I think a lot of these players, they don't know. They don't even know how good their English is.
Absolutely.
Which
is why you come on our show for us to tell you.
So we out here dishing out compliments. But no, it was great because he was, again, to provide some context, before the interview, they were like, oh, can you translate the questions? And so he knows what to
and he prepare. Had it next to him.
He had it sort of next to him, but we gave him a little bit of a breakdown and he crushed it. So that was lovely to see because you could tell in the beginning before we like started recording, he was just like a little self-conscious and worried. He was kind of like, don't speak too fast or whatever. And he was speaking faster than we were.
Yeah. Also, I don't think you know what show you're about to be on.
Okay. We're not going to be tossing too many SAT words at you. So shout out to Santi Jimenez and AC Milan for helping make that happen. That was really, really dope. As always, make sure you follow us everywhere on all socials at Soccer Cooligans. Hit like and subscribe on YouTube and make sure join the Patreon. We have an extended Cooligans show that you can watch on there. We do that once a week. So you
want to know what we talk about after the show? Join the Patreon, baby.
Exactly. Patreon.com/soccercooligans. All right. We'll be back on, actually this week, we're doing the live show, right? On Saturday. So we won't have a Thursday episode, but we will be live after the USMNT friendly and they are playing against Belgium. So right after that, we're actually.
But if you're going to be in the Boston area on Wednesday, we're doing live stand up at the Dubliner. By the way, it's free. You don't have to get tickets. You don't do nothing. Just show up. What time?
I don't know.
I think it's like 7. Go to our stories.
Go to our Instagram story and our social. Yeah. On Instagram. You'll see it on there.
But we're doing live stand up in Boston and we're going to be at the Brazil France game. Gabriel Magalhães won't, but we will.
Good week for the Cooligan. We'll see you either in Foxborough or on the live after the US Belgium game. So join us on YouTube for that. All right, everybody. Thank you again for tuning in. We'll see you on Saturday. Peace, everybody.
Love you guys.